This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
Petey! Biscuit, it's Jimmy from Boston. So the listener call-in line is up and ready, huh? Nice! Let's hear from you people! I know Biscuit isn't sold on it yet, but I'm kind of looking forward to hearing what you might have to say. So let's put down the keyboards, let's step away from the Facebook and the Twitter. We're going to pick up the phone like ladies and gentlemen, like we got some dignity and some class. And let's hear what you got to say. But be warned, if you're talking shit, the gloves are off and you're fair game. Don't go and make the mistake of trying to imitate your pal Jimmy. Just be yourselves, you crazy bastards. Later.
Hello again. Hello. Just called to say hello.
Hey Pete, Sebastian, DJ Lou, and Jimmy from Boston. My name is Tay from Long Island. After the week I had today, you guys sure always gives me good energy and actually makes my commuting in heavy, heavy traffic quite enjoyable. Hello, thanks, guys.
My friend, hello.
Hey, fellas, what's going on? It's Todd, a.k.a. Bobby Sacamano from Twitter. Big fan of the show. Been there since day one. Sebastian, my new favorite part of the show, has got to be hearing stories about your father. Kills me every time. Don't be fooled by Jimmy from Boston's messages. He's a sweetheart. He got me out of a gym on Valentine's Day. Big fan of the show. Keep it up. Love it. See you guys.
And you're there at home. Hello.
Hey, guys, listen. The show is phenomenal. It's the best podcast out there. It's the most entertaining. And the reason is because of the simplicity of it. So this is my first call to this line and the last because, Pete, Sebastian is 100% right. You don't need this. We don't need to hear from the people. You guys are talented on the air, and your lives are incredibly entertaining to us. I can just listen to you guys go back and forth about your day-to-day. That's all the show needs to be. I don't need to listen to people on the street. They're not funny. You guys are funny. I'm not funny. You guys are. So keep it like it is, man. It doesn't even bother me that you switch down to... But once a week, as long as you keep everything the same, we're good, baby. Don't do anything. And you know what? I'm kind of against having interviews on the show as well. Other people, we don't need them. But I have to admit, your Lisa Lampanelli interview was very entertaining. But I think tacking it on at the end of the show is a nice touch. You know? Don't lose the momentum of the show. It was nice at the end there. Anyway... Keep up the good work, guys.
Well, I'm going to go then. And I don't need any of this. I don't need this stuff. And I don't need you. I don't need anything except this. And that's the only thing I need is this.
Hello, my friend. Hello.
Pete and Sebastian Show, we are back, baby.
I've been battling a sickness since Saturday. Sunday. It hit me Sunday, and I had to do two shows on Sunday. Anybody who came out to the Long Island Governors on Sunday, I apologize. I was not at 100% peak level. Still had fun and whatnot, but I didn't feel good at all, man. And I don't know if it's the fact that I am flying so much or... meeting people after the show, shaking hands with all these people is giving me germs. What do you think it is? I've been sick more this year than I ever have been. And I don't know what to do. It's just, I don't know if I should stop the meet and greets, if I should be wearing a mask on an airplane. Is it come to that?
You can't do that. You're not Asian. You're not even allowed to.
Because sometimes I fall asleep on the airplane, I got my mouth open. I don't know what's flying in there.
Why is it that, by the way, that only Asians seem to wear the mask? Do you know? It's always Asians.
Oh, I don't know. And Asians seem to be constantly healthy.
Yeah, maybe there's something to the mask.
I think the mask is the way to go. I don't even see Japanese people sneeze. Have you ever seen a Japanese people sneeze?
I don't think I have.
I mean, I'm going back in my memory. I don't think I've ever seen them sneeze. These people are a ball of health. I mean, they smoke like chimneys, but I got to tell you, I think the Japanese got it right with the mask.
I can never remember saying, God bless you, Tanaka. Yeah, but I mean, at what cost, bro? I'd rather bang out a 103 fever overnight, one night, maybe every 2 months, than have to wear a mask in public. That's just, you know. When I see someone with a mask like that, my first thought is that there's a weak, feeble human being that can't fight off disease on their own, so they need to put cloth over their mouth. You can't do that. I mean, did you shake?
No, I see. Believe me, I definitely see where you're coming from, because I do the same thing. I go, look at this asshole, can't take a little. But I mean, listen, what if I made the mask almost like a part of the outfit?
Well, you know, I know you take a lot of flack for that scarf you like to wear in the winter. I mean, the scarf you can literally just put a little further over your mouth.
No, but that's not going to do it. I need something that's going to contain and not penetrate the nasal passage or the throat.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm quoting a friend here, but an avid listener of our show, my lawyer, I was on the phone with him the other day, and I said, oh, I think I'm casting today. I'm not sure. I think Sebastian's got a fever. And he goes, Jesus, a fever? He goes, that guy's like a potted plant. I didn't even know what it meant. I started laughing. I'm like, what? He goes, oh, he needs more care and attention than a potted plant.
By the way, those of you looking for a nice remedy for a fever, I had about 103 fever. I took an Epsom salt and baking soda bath. I got out of there. Temperature dropped to a 99.
Wow, Epsom salt and baking soda?
Yeah. So try one of those if you're having an issue with a fever. So this happened, what, Sunday? So I've been sweating in bed for the last 3 nights. I haven't had a good night's sleep at all. I think now it's starting to dissipate.
Can I just go back for a second here and ask you, if you were, for whatever reason, traveling with somebody, maybe a business venture or something, and they pulled out the mask to cover their mouth, surgical mask, in the airport, as soon as you got to the airport, they're like, I'm sorry, it's just, you know, a lot of stuff floating around here, and they put the mask on. Do you continue traveling with that person, or do you say, we'll catch back up at the curb in Atlanta?
Yeah, I then detach myself from that person and talk to them without the mask.
I have to agree. I mean, you want to go mask, I respect that, but you're going alone until you take the mask off, man.
But what if you had a nice mask? Like what if I popped off like a leather mask or something with some design on it?
That's not a goddamn bad idea.
I'm into it. I'm into the whole designer mask. You almost look like a bandit.
I'm thinking it through though, dude, but even if I had a Billy Joel The Stranger album surgical mask, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. But I'd still think that would be a little hard to wear, right?
Listen, if you got on the plane with a Billy Joel surgical mask on, I'd go, this guy ain't weak. This guy's making a statement.
Yeah, you'd look at me and go, excuse me, do you know if they have that in the Michael Jackson? Oh, my God. Listen to that cough. Sounds like you've been smoking pot on the rocks.
Oh, I know, man. I don't want to get too graphic, but I don't know what I coughed up the other night. I don't know if you ever get like a phlegm ball that come out of you. Like this was inside me. It looked like a fetus. It was terrible.
Oh, man.
Terrible.
So, did you max out at 103?
Yeah, that was my max. I don't know what hospital is. I've heard 103. I've heard 105. my father-in-law said he had 108 and he didn't even feel it. I go, he's like, yeah, I didn't even feel 108 temperature. This is how busy this man is that he can't even feel 108 temperature.
Whoa, when did he tell you this?
We were in the car and I said I had 103. And then we start saying, what's the highest you've ever had? And he popped off with a 108.
You know what he was saying with that.
Oh, he was basically telling me, suck it up. Oh, I had 108, never felt it.
Exactly. I mean, come on. You're throwing up in Porsches with this guy. You're making a scene with 103 temperature. Boy, oh boy, you need to do something big, something manly. You should just build a brick wall overnight in his front yard for no reason at all.
Yeah, he's also making fun of my hair now.
What? Well, bro. That's not possible. You got nice bouffant right now. Your hair is in its prime.
Hey, he's thinking it's too high. He's telling me I got a bunch of, he calls it junk. What? He's like, you got a bunch of junk in it. Yeah, he's busting my balls, but I don't think the guy likes my hair, though.
We just washed the hair. Yeah. You know, I work on my hair a long time, and you hit it. He hits my hair.
What do you say? If your father-in-law starts ripping you on your hair, though, what do you come back with?
Your daughter liked it.
One pork chop. One.
Hey, Frank.
105 and above. I thought that's borderline get an ambulance. I didn't even think you could stand with a 108. Like, how high could you go before you're literally gonna die?
115 degrees is the highest temperature ever recorded on a human being that hasn't passed away.
115, wow.
115, Willie Jones was admitted to Grady Memorial Hospital in Atlanta, Georgia with a heat stroke on July 10th. He reached 115 degrees. He was discharged after 24 days.
What year? What year was this?
1980.
1980, look at that. Your father-in-law was 70 degrees away from breaking Willie's record. and he didn't. He just walked it off. He didn't even take a lunch break.
This is DJ Lou's show within a show. I am DJ Lou, and this is brought to you by White Cloud Electronic Cigarettes. I've been going through the phone messages, and I think we should keep it. I like to hear from the people out there.
Yeah, you guys need to go back to doing two a week. You guys are slipping. I'm a big podcast listener and look forward to you guys' shows more than even Joe Rogan's.
It's not always a good thing, though. This is Pete's message to me.
Hey, friend that never answers. What's going on?
Dude, Billy Joel has a channel on fucking Sirius and you don't even tell me? What the? Looking on my computer, wrote a Facebook post. Somebody wrote back. His name is Sergio. Next time you're in Hollywood, let me know, blah, 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 blah. And the reason I called Lou, the last part of his comment was, oh, yeah, tell DJ Lou we're tired of his Pearl Jam shit. Dot, dot, dot. Later.
Ooh, Sergio from Hollywood. Ooh. I wouldn't expect someone from Hollywood to understand. You're not from the streets. We're sick of that Pearl Jam shit. Who's we? You and the Kardashians?
Wow, you must be rich.
So to satisfy this message, I'm going to play Billy Joel and Eddie Vedder saying the times they are a-changing. And Hollywood Sergio, you could fast forward right now.
Asshole head.
You could listen to Paris Hilton's new song, singing about money and cocks. Enjoy.
This is called The Times They Are A-Changin'.
Come mothers and fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you don't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging, so get out of the new one if you can lend a hand. For the times they are a-changin'.
The line it is drawn, the curse it is cast, and the slow one now will past as the present now will soon be the past. And the order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand, or you better stop swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the loser now will be later to win, for the times they are a-changing.
I'm from Hollywood.
Now back to the Pete and Sebastian show.
I bought a pair of shoes in New York City at Barney's. And the guy put the shoes in the shoebox. I packed the shoes. I took them out last night to wear to Lana's gallery event. She had a wonderful gallery event last night that was in Naples, Florida. And when I went to get the shoes, two different shoes in the box. Right? Now, I'm going to call Barney's today. Do you think I deserve something extra other than my extra shoe?
No.
What? I said, why?
This was an accident.
But that's what I'm saying, man. This is an inconvenience to me. Now, I got to ship one shoe back to them. They got to ship a shoe back to me. I was going to wear these shoes last night. How do they know I didn't have another pair to wear? Maybe I had to wear gym shoes to, with this, you know. How do they know I wasn't invited to the White House last night? And when I went to go get my shoes, they weren't there, and I had to put sneakers on with a suit.
They don't know that, but if I was them, you know, I'd be thinking, if you were going to the White House, I would check the shoes before I left the, you know, between the store and the White House, I'd have checked the shoes.
Checks the shoes. Nobody checks the shoes.
I mean, they should pay for the shipping. And the inconvenience as far as, you know, we'll pay for all the shipping. We'll get those right out to you. But I don't think they owe you, like, another pair of shoes or anything.
I want a free pair. I need a little reassurance that this ain't going to happen again. So I need a little restitution. I'm looking for punitive damages.
What if I throw in a pair of matching dress socks? Would that be enough, sir?
Yeah, put the socks in. That'd be good. I'm just looking for something that, that says, you know what, we're sorry. Here's a gift card.
What if they just said sorry?
Apologize to them. Let yourself feel better. Then you can learn to let yourself keep feeling better.
No, sorry means a lot more when you attach some cash to it.
Yeah, I know. That's business, man. Whenever someone makes a mistake in business, they're expected to give you whatever they screwed up for free. Yeah.
Something. I don't know, man. I don't think I'm out of line with that. But that's where I'm at. I got two different shoes. I got a mild cold. I got my buddies coming in from Chicago to Fort Lauderdale for 3 nights.
Nice.
And it's funny. When your buddies from home travel, they get so excited. When I get on a plane, I get so angry. Did you see the kid who stabbed the people?
I've been kind of passing over the story, but I heard he was kind of what, like no emotion, just walking through the hallway stabbing everyone?
I don't know. I was talking to people last night. It's like, what happened to a black guy? Yeah, he came home from school. And somebody punched you, and you had a black eye. Now people are coming home with no arms, no leg. I mean, it's like, what the fuck is going on, man?
It's insane. I remember when I was in school, a kid had a switchblade comb, and we acted like it was a goddamn machete.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. It's like, you know, YouTube now, you know, the kids are learning to make bombs out of their mother's cleaning material. And when we were kids, it was just like, put up your dukes.
I'm telling you, it's because there's no more hot food on fucking coach flights.
I'm telling you, man, we need to be fed in the air.
Yeah, man, I just always find it amazing when they can't see it coming. Because, like, even when I was in high school, there was a couple dudes around the same age as me, maybe a year younger or so. But they ended up breaking into the junior high, and they killed the janitor with a fire extinguisher. It was all over the news and stuff. And, you know, they seemed a little off in school, but you never would have walked through the hallways going, oh, yeah, they're going to murder somebody for sure.
Let me finish my sentence. I said, I'm not going to hurt you. I'm just going to bash your brains in. I'm going to bash them right the fuck in.
Now, I don't know. They say don't judge a book by its cover, right? Sometimes we got to just start judging. I'm sorry. The kid looked psychotic.
Yeah, I don't get that, man. The whole thing where you can't judge and stereo... Not judge. What would I do all day?
Yeah.
That's what I do. I look, I judge. As a matter of fact, the first person who ever said we shouldn't judge, that guy's an asshole.
Yeah, I don't know. What? I don't understand. The kid literally looked like he had problems. And to me, you flag someone like that.
Well, maybe he was flagged. Was he taking any sort of,
I don't know. It's the drugs, though. This guy's got to be on something.
Why, stop you think feeding so?
These, I don't know, something. I don't know. I'm not going to speculate, but I don't know. He's 16. You think he was on any type of medication? I wouldn't be surprised if he's on some antidepressants.
What I don't understand, though, is when we were kids and there was kids that would get bullied and they were the nerds, what they would do is they would all find each other and they would band together. They don't wander the hallways alone and you know, get this stuff pent up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, this is... I don't know the whole story. I just know he stabbed 22 people.
Kids are meaner today, too, though, dude, man. I mean, no matter how bad kids were when we were younger, someone would bully you. At some point, they'd eventually pick you up off the ground, brush you off. But, man, they're brutal these days. Mean.
Why is it, though? Why so mean now? Why?
Because this is not funny or fun, but because I think they're exposed to more on TV and then computers and everything else. I mean, dude, we got video games now where you're literally trying to murder cops. I mean, When I was a kid, it was like, oh my God, you give the cop the finger underneath the car door. That was insanity. Yeah, man. Now high school kids, I've seen them... The cops are trying to break up a party, and the kid's hiding behind a cop car, letting the air out of the back tire. Oh my God! Are you crazy?
Yeah, man. When we had parties, I'm telling you, when the cops came, everybody ran. They scattered.
Scattered, man. Exactly.
Now they're like, "What's up, officer? What's the problem? What's the fucking problem? There's 75 underage drinkers in your mother's home." But then the mom comes to the door, and she asks the officer what he's doing there. She's sanctioning the party.
Yeah.
Don't take drugs.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Like, when we grow up, I have never in my life as a child saw a police officer where I lived showing any sign of distress ever. You know? They were totally in control. They never had their hand near their gun. You know, now these guys go to break up a party, or they go to a high school. They already got the gun unsnapped with their finger on the handle. I mean,
shit. They don't know what they're going to run into. I don't know. The respect to law enforcement back in our day was just, hey, listen, the cops are here. Shut your mouth. Answer their questions. Now it's like a confrontation. What do you want?
Yeah, they just... They all just kind of hover 5 feet away from the cop, start taunting.
Look, you better get your ass on, hunky, while I still let you.
Yeah.
Crazy times, man.
So, I'm in Fort Lauderdale, by the way, this weekend. Fort Lauderdale Improv at the Hard Rock Seminole Casino here in beautiful Fort Lauderdale, where you'll see, if you come out, you might get a glimpse of my three Chicago friends. They're going to be the ones that are all red with no sunblock on. That's normally what happens when they come, especially they've been in hibernation for 6 months, so when they come and see sun, they go right for it. It's like a dog in heat.
That's a great place for them to come hang with you, too, because at night, that whole strip of bars outside, they go to like 4 or 5 in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're not staying with me, thank God. They're staying at a condominium that my buddy owns down the street, so... I just checked in here, and man, I don't know if you've ever looked at a casino. I checked in about 7 o'clock in the morning. Have you seen a casino at 7 o'clock in the morning? You're just, it is like a guy that was walking up the escalator in a complete haze, drinking a Budweiser, and I was looking at his face, and it just looked like he lost the last mortgage payment.
Yeah.
And in the morning at a casino, it's not a good place to be, man.
No, it's always kind of sad when you see the lingerers from the night before. But then you also see at 7 in the morning people like me getting their coffee and their paper, and they kind of got that look like, I'm only here because whoever I'm with likes to gamble, and they're still sleeping. Yeah, I'm trying to pretend I'm in a goddamn Marriott on Hilton Head Island or some shit.
Well, I don't think in any place you get two contrasting emotions. You get one who just lost the house and a guy who's like ready to start his morning to go work out. You get like literally those two people passing each other at the same moment under one roof, which is like, it's really hard to find that other than a hotel casino.
Yeah, a lot of emotions. A lot of emotions, man. It's the problem with casinos is, like you said, though, you can just round the bend and see something just devastatingly depressing.
Oh, God. I saw a guy smoking outside today, but he was something about having a cigarette standing up outside and then having a cigarette sitting down outside on the floor. It's just such a sad sight to see a man smoking on the floor outside a hotel.
What do you mean? Just sitting in the grass or something?
No, just like, you know, like right when you walk into the casino, off to the side, this guy was just sitting down on the floor, on the cement, back up against the wall, smoking, trying to figure out how he got there in his life.
Yeah, that's a sad smoke. I know.
That's a sad smoke.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes I still see someone smoking in certain capacities, and like you could see someone enjoying the smoke, yeah. and then like I'll see other people. You ever see someone? They got one of those long 100s, one of the longest cigarettes, and like they're going into a 7-Eleven. They get out of the car, they light up, they do two drags, they throw it and step on it and go in. I'm like, you couldn't even go from the car to the 7-Eleven without having a smoke right there. Wow. I never used to like smoking and walking. I always liked to chill out with my cigarette and enjoy it. I didn't like to walk and smoke.
No, so you're a stand and smoke. You don't walk and smoke. I don't like to walk and smoke because then you get behind these people and it's like, come on, man. I'm walking. You're like, I'm in the drift of your ash and your smoke.
Yeah, well, I remember smoking once. And on the Upper East Side, on the East River, when I used to smoke a lot, I walk the dog and smoke, and some chick jogs by, and she waves a face like that, and I'm like, I'm outside, and she goes, it's a sidewalk, not a smoke walk.
Oh, shit.
I'm like, whatever.
Oh, man.
Ridiculous. All right, you ready for Italian Take? All right, Lou, give us the music. Italian Take, here we go. This is when Sebastian and I, two Italians, discuss our version of the news, give you our take on it, because we're Italian, Italian Take. George Wallace tripped, got tangled up in a wire while performing in Vegas. I don't know what place it is, wherever he performs. Said he hurt his leg and makes it difficult to perform the rest of his career. He just won $1.3 million from the casino.
What?
Yeah, he sued the casino.
Why?
Because he got tangled up in the wire during a performance, and he said he injured it. Were you even listening to the setup?
Yeah. I'm asking, like, why is he suing the casino when he got himself tangled in the wire? I've sometimes gotten my foot tangled in the wire. Do you think I would sue the comedy club for what, putting a wire on stage?
I guess he and look. I don't go into details. I'm not goddamn fucking Diane Sawyer. I'm just saying. Somehow he got tangled in the wire. He felt it was their fault. Look, bottom line, he's like, I'm tired of the fucking road. somebody's giving me $1.3 million. I'll do a head first dive off this stage. Dude, that's not a bad idea. I think when I get into my late 50s, if I'm really done with the road, maybe I'll go to a place I'm performing a little earlier in the day with my screwdriver and just loosen a couple of floorboards in the front of the stage, take a head dive.
Oh, man. Yeah, $1.3 million is not bad for tripping on a wire, but it's just like, I don't know. Listen, I don't know the facts of the story. Maybe he asked for a cordless and they gave him a wire and that's what happened. Who knows? But I don't know, man.
So that's that with George Wallace. $1.3 million richer.
Okay.
Okay on that one, man. Queen Elizabeth is down to 1.6 mil.
What? Net worth?
Yeah.
Where'd the money go?
I don't know, but to put that in perspective, she's worth less money than Scott Baio.
What's Scott Baio's net worth coming in at? Do we know?
I don't know. I'm just assuming if he's got any royalties from Charles in Charge alone, man.
Well, Andy Rooney died with 18 grand.
18 grand.
I mean, I know he had nine wives and people had to take a cut, but...
Oh, his kids, though, his family, they worked him like a farm mule, man.
Do you think they were going to get out there, go do night at the museum, go make some more money?
Oh, yeah. Jesus. Dude, he has 17 kids. None of them got a dime. I mean, what would they have gotten? $1,000 each?
Yeah. $1,000 each. By the way, Scott Baio net worth $3.5 million.
Oh, my God. Scott Baio's worth twice as much as Queen Elizabeth. We were talking about Mickey Rooney and his 17 kids. Dude, apparently they worked him into the ground so bad. He literally sued one of his kids for elder abuse.
He did?
Yeah, can you imagine that? You really gotta have a problem with your kid to do that. I look, you know, Mickey Rooney, God bless the guy, but I can honestly say, I mean, I can never, there was never a time I was watching a film and I literally saw the credits and went, oh, good, Mickey Rooney's in this.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Apparently he was one of the biggest stars in the, what, 50s?
Yeah, man, I'm a Yankee.
Married
dude.
To Ava Gardner, for Christ's sake, who Frank Sinatra was married to. So it's like Mickey Rooney and Frank were on the same level?
And I think it was more one of those things where, you know, you're with Frankie and, you know, I don't know who she had first, but I'm sure when she went to Mickey, it was like, I just want a nice, funny guy. You know what I mean? Dude, don't forget, Julia Roberts used to be married to Lyle Stop-A-Fucking-Carr. Love it.
Love it. Yeah. No, I hear that, man. This guy was still filming movies.
When she married Love it, he had to feel like, you know, it's like when you make a desk with duct tape. You know, as soon as you're putting the duct tape on, this ain't going to last. What were you saying?
He was filming Night at the Museum 3. This guy was still working.
Yeah, they said he had to keep working to pay for everything. Remember those commercials he was making for a while there?
Hi, everybody. I'm Mickey Rooney. You know, I've been in the movie since I was 2 years old, and I've still had to worry about money matters at times, and who hasn't? When my time comes, I don't want to leave those I love with money worries on my account. I'm sure you don't either. But that's where Value Guard comes in. Value Guard is a quality whole life insurance policy from Garden State Life. It's meant to ensure that your family will have the money it needs quickly to pay your final expenses. I have confidence in Garden State Life. It's a company you can trust.
Oh, what happened there? How'd that work out for you?
I don't really remember this guy at all for the last 20 years. And I don't, you know, like, who's going to, like you said, who's going to the movie going, oh, fucking Rooney's in it, I got to get there. Like, what are they must be hiring him for peanuts.
Well, I think it was a Night of the Museum because I think Ben Stiller's dad, Jerry Stiller, has known Mickey for years, and Jerry Stiller probably called Ben and said, you got to throw him in this fucking movie, man. He's got no money. But then why not just give him money?
Yeah, just give the guy money. Mickey Rourke was really upset that the passing of Mickey Rooney only got like page 22 on some type of some newspaper. Lou, if we could find the clip of Mickey Rourke like telling a reporter off in regards to how Rooney got no respect on his death, that would be great. Right about here. If not, no big deal.
Yeah, no, that's the problem you face when you live too long, you know what I mean? It's like every comic knows there's the perfect time to get off stage. No disrespect, but I'm sure there was a lot of people that went, I didn't even know Mickey Rooney was still with us.
Yeah. No, so, I hear that.
Yeah, Mickey Rooney, rest in peace. And then you got John Panette, too.
John Panette passing away, which was a great comedian, died at the age of, what, 50 years old?
Yeah.
And the Ultimate Warrior, 54 years old. I don't know if you were a big wrestling guy growing up.
Oh, yeah, right. I just had heard about that guy passing away, too.
Yeah, so some big deaths this month.
I know. I tell you, though. Sad as it is with Panette and with Mickey Rooney, I mean, talk about two passings, though, that really don't need autopsies. I mean, one is 93, and the other one, you know, even his own manager, Panette's manager, is like, yeah, we don't need to do an autopsy. I mean, we all got eyes.
Yeah, no, he lived a hard life.
I know, man. It's like, damn, did he ever get thin? Didn't he get thin for a while, I thought?
I think he did. I don't know if he had that surgery or not, but... Yeah, it's like these fat guys who are comedians. You know, it's just the time. Like, when is it going to happen? You know, like Ralphie May. We were talking about him today. You know, he's another guy, sweetheart of a guy, but big guy. You know, it's just that takes its toll on the body.
Yeah, you know, it does scare you sometimes thinking about like shit. You gotta. I mean, I don't know. Anyway, yeah, there you go with that. So.
And when a comedian passes away, do you feel like, is it because they're comedians, or are there just people who happen to be the comedians that are dying?
I know, right? It seems like it's because they're comedians. Like, it seems like the heavyset guys that work regular jobs aren't dropping at 50.
Oh, I mean, yeah, believe me, people are dying at 50 all over the country, right?
Right.
I'm saying when a comedian dies, whether it be drugs, whether it be health issues, whatever it might be, the cause of death, suicide, whatever it might be, do you think it's because they're comedians that you feel like there's just a small amount of comedians, so when one dies, do you feel like you are in jeopardy of dying as well?
That's a good question. Sometimes, right? Sometimes I feel like there's something about what we do that has us prone to die premature, you know?
But what is it?
I don't know. Maybe it's just that level of loneliness where your body says, I'm done with this. I don't know, man. It does seem that way, right?
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems like, fuck, am I next? And yeah. I'm not doing anything.
I don't know. You are a potted plant, my friend.
I am a potted plant, though.
Back to Italian Take. Here we go. A 85-year-old woman at a nursing home somewhere in America. You know, again, I don't have my Diane Sawyer details. Anyway, she was 85-year-old woman in a nursing home. They threw a party for her birthday and had a male stripper dance. And there's video of this male stripper in nothing but a bikini, and she's putting a dollar bill into his, you know, string thing there. And she's 85. Now, her family is suing the nursing home for allowing that, and her lawyer came on representing the 85-year-old woman who, you know, isn't really all that there at this point with it.
Yeah.
And they said she lived a dignified life, and this was so disrespectful and disgraceful. I watched the video. The woman seems to be alive, having a nice time for once. But the man is definitely over her wheelchair thing, and he's grinding, but his penis isn't in her face. And she's putting the dollar bill, and everybody's clapping. It's like nobody's laughing at her. They're laughing with her. And her family is suing. Now, my question is, you know, God forbid your mom was in a nursing home someday, and then you found video. They threw her a party. You couldn't be there for her birthday party, but the nursing home, upscale, nice nursing home, threw your mom a party, and they thought it would be fun to get a stripper. And there's video of your mom putting a dollar bill on a stripper. Now, are you freaking out? You getting pissed off or what?
Well, it's like, you know what? You gave up, you know, that wouldn't have happened if the person was at home being cared for by the family, right? So you gave your mother to a nursing home. Hey, whatever happens in the nursing room happens in the nursing home.
No, you're paying big money hoping you're giving your mom to people with the proper judgment.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, I could see where the lawsuit's coming from. I understand it. I would be a little offended if the nursing home, you know, brought in a 25-year-old stripper and he started shaking his nuts in front of my 85-year-old mother's face. It's a little disrespectful. No.
Yeah, I suppose if my mom doesn't have the wherewithal to know what's going on, then that's disrespectful.
Yeah, I mean, if she's got Alzheimer's disease, she's not all there, or whatever she might have, and then this happens. I don't know. It's just like, I don't know where the nursing home thought this might be a great idea. Actually, watching the video right now,
yeah,
it's blurred, and you can't really see anybody. Yeah, this is disturbing.
You find it disturbing. All right, hey, look, you know, that's your Italian take.
That's my Italian take. No strippers in nursing homes.
No strippers in nursing homes. There we go. Check that one.
Oh, you know who's chiming in on this?
Who?
It looks like a lot of the people that work at the nursing home are tipping the guy. Like a lot of the nurses.
Right, they're having a good time.
Yeah, they probably wanted it for themselves. And they used the old person as like a cover. Yeah, we'll get it for the 85-year-old birthday, but yeah, we'll have the fun.
Oh yeah, that's kind of what happened, man. That's exactly what everyone's bitching about.
Yeah.
Italian take, a couple more. Here we go. There's a guy who was put in jail 24 years ago for a murder that they finally realized definitely couldn't have been him. They now have proof that he was actually in Florida when it happened. So they let the guy out of jail after 24 years. First of all, it's always amazing, dude, when these guys get out of jail after being incarcerated, wrongly incarcerated. They're always so low-key. Like, I'd be coming out, I'd be giving the fucking finger to everybody. You motherfucking motherfuck faces. God damn, right? So, but they're always, they come out and they're like, oh, I just can't wait to see my family and have a warm cup of coffee. But anyway, how much money do you think our government should have to give a guy who is in jail for 24 years for something he didn't do? And this seems to be a guy, too, that, like, didn't do anything bad up until then. You know, sometimes some guy's in for the wrong crime, but you're like, you killed somebody. Maybe not that guy, but you killed somebody.
Yeah, yeah. No, this, I don't think any amount of money could actually replace, you know, 24 years loss of life. The guy basically missed, you know, a quarter of his life.
Well, if George Wallace feels he lost $1.3 million from a bum leg, then what do you think a guy in jail for 24 years should get?
Give him $100 million.
$100 million. Wow.
No?
Well, the only problem, that's what I would want. But, I mean, what is a guy who's been in jail for 24 years and is now 55 years old going to do with $100 million? He wouldn't even know what to do with it, right?
Yeah, he's going to go fucking live his life. That's what he's going to go do. He's basically been robbed of any type of career. Yeah, right? So what is he going to do?
I give you $7 million, and you get to have dinner one night with the Obamas in the White House.
keep the dinner with the Obamas. I want an extra $4 million.
Well, that's the $1,000 question, what these guys get when they get out. So that's about it, bro. That's about it, man.
That's it here, man. I'm going to go and take a lozenge, hit sheets. I got another press thing at 2:30. So, you know, I know you guys been screaming about two shows a week or whatnot. We want to talk about this or what?
Let's talk it out, man. What do you want to do? Do you want to go back to two? I mean,
I just feel like we're losing some good nuggets that are happening, like, when they're happening. And we might be losing out on some gold, some gems.
All right, I'm for it then. Let's go back to two. What this show is what it is then, right? It's two guys. We get on, we riff, we go for
it. That's it. If there's a guest, there's a guest. But to be honest with you, it's what it is. We get on, we talk, and then we go home. That's
all right.
You're not gonna hate me. Yes.
All right, let's do it again, man. Hopefully temperature won't peak and we'll be able to fit in two shows in 1 week. You Hollywood plot.
That's it.
Hollywood potted plant, you.
That's it.
Bro, your town is too hot. It's too goddamn hot already. It's April and it's hot as shit outside. The traffic is a nightmare. I don't miss this town.
Yeah, go back. Go back to the Mormons or whatever.
East Coast, baby.
There we go.
Hey, have fun with your friends in Fort Lauderdale, bro.
All right. We'll see you guys next Tuesday. Back up and running twice a week.
Yes, San Jose Improv. Come on down. See you then. All right. Later, brother.
May it be. When you inhale on a white cloudy cigarette, you can have a flavor of apple, strawberry, nicotine, cinnamon, whatever choice you want. But when you blow out, all you're blowing out is odorless vapor. That's right. White Cloud e-cigs. Cheap, tasty, and most of all, clean. That's what we like about them. You can smoke them anywhere, and nobody gets smoked out because it's nothing but odorless vapor. Nice and clean, baby. Go to WCCIGS.com. Get yourself some White Cloud e-cigs. The best e-cigs on the market. Fuck Steven Dorff. And as much as White Cloud does like it clean, once in a while, like everyone else, we like it dirty. Here's a little bit I wrote that's a little too raunchy for the stage, but maybe it's just right for the Pete and Sebastian show. So the other day, I'm going down on my wife, and she's got her legs wrapped around my head. And apparently she yelled out, "I think I'm going to come again." But I couldn't hear her with my ears covered, so I said, "Come again?" And she said, "I think I'm about to." And I said, "About to what?" And she said, "Come again." So I said, "About to what?"
The show has ended.
Where'd the money go?
I don't know, but to put that in perspective, she's worth less money than Scott Baio.